Hey folks, this is Rabble Rousing Rich Bergeron, and we're on the line with Marcus Bates, super lightweight. Got a match coming up next Saturday in Melrose, Mass. with Christian Danilo Guido. And said you're from Taunton, Massachusetts, is that true?
Yes, I'm Taunton, Massachusetts, born and raised.
Awesome. You got a buddy down there I went to high school with. He just bought a house down there a few years ago. Nice neighborhoods.
Okay.
Good little place.
Yeah, hey. Taunton, not bad. I mean, it has like any place, you know. It has the highs and lows.
Right.
Good areas and bad areas.
So, what got you into boxing in the first place?
It was something that I always wanted to do since I was younger. I just my mom, she never put me in it because she thought I would take the school and use it against somebody. Mm-hmm. So it was something that I ended up coming into in my early 20s. My son, his uncle, God rest his soul, my kid's mother, her brother, he see me doing some things I shouldn't have been doing, and you know, he introduced me to boxing.
Awesome. Yeah, my mother was actually the reason I got into it, but unfortunately it was after she died. And back in the 80s, everybody used to say to any insult, "Oh, your mother." You know, so then at the drop of a dime, I would fight people over it. So they had to kind of rein me in.
Oh, yeah.
So, anyway.
I had my face share those fights with your mother. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, right.
I had my face share those.
Yeah. It happens. But, you know, you get it organized, and it turns out it's a good thing. You know, you just got to channel it, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, you got, do you know anything about your opponent coming up this weekend, next weekend? Saturday?
I don't know too much. I just know that he has way more experience than I do. He has about 29 professional fights.
Right.
Not too sure of the record.
8-21.
I'm pretty sure he has around 29.
Lost last six, so according to Box Track. So you're going to make it 7.
So he has...
right?
Yes.
So more than that. It looks like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So you're going to be the 10th. There you go. Lucky number 10.
Yep. So not... This will be my 13th pro fight, and we're gonna go for the seventh knockout.
Awesome. Now, what would you say is your favorite punch, if you had one?
I like the straight right hand.
Cool.
Straight right hand. That's my go to. Before it was the uppercut. But I got away from it. So I'm easily slowly getting back into throwing more uppercuts.
I had that very same problem in college when I boxed. I would get hit by a lot of them, but I would never throw them. I don't even ever remember even trying to throw one in a fight, and it was like, you know, it was such a good punch for young up-and-coming fighters, because most of them didn't know how to throw it. So here I am, you know, in college, teaching people how to throw it all the time, but because I was a coach in my senior and junior year, but I never threw one in an actual fight.
Yeah, I mean,
but it's useful.
The uppercut is a devastating punch, man. Mm-hmm. And you land that, no one see it. It's gonna be a bad night for that person.
do you have Do you have fighters that you grew up watching that, you know, you watch a lot of tape of and try to emulate, or people nowadays that you're kind of trying to steal some stuff from their styles?
I grew up watching I favored Tyson growing up, just because he was just rough and rugged. And I liked that he came forward, head moving, and he threw uppercuts from hell. I favored Marvin Hagler because I liked his movement. He was gritty, but the way he moved around the ring coming forward, and he was sharp. And I also liked Roberto Duran, because his inside game was crazy. He had good feints, and he get you on the inside and he open you up, and he do his damage. Nowadays I look at Terrence Crawford. Man, he's slick, he's gritty, he's smart, he's sharp, and that's who I would. We have the same. I look at him, I look at myself, because we have like the same build. And I watch him a lot. I'm not a southpaw, working on going that way, so just it gives me another tool on the belt. But watching him is like watching myself in the future.
Yeah. Well, you know, switching stances is not that big in boxing, but it could be if more people did it. I mean, I see it in mixed martial arts a lot, and it works. You know, especially when you've got to involve kicks, and maybe your front leg gets kicked by the other guy, and you can't stand on it, so you got to switch. But
yeah,
in boxing, they don't use it a lot,
and,
but
you know,
when it does get used, it works.
Yeah, it's dangerous, especially when you're on the inside and you're orthodox and you step to someone on the inside and you do that little slight switch and they don't see that coming. Now your power hand is your lead hand, and they're in trouble. And what a lot of people don't know is that, you know, Mike Tyson, he was naturally, I believe he was right-handed. Well, no, left-handed. But he fought orthodox.
Yeah. Well, back in the older days, like, they wouldn't even let you write left-handed. They wanted you to write right-handed, so they would force you to learn. Not so much anymore, but yeah. That's how popular it is.
So a lot of people didn't know that. So when he would step down and he would throw that right hook to the body, followed by the uppercut, that was his natural power hand. He could have fought both ways, southpaw or orthodox.
Yeah, well, it makes sense, because when I used to teach it, I would specifically teach people the left hook from the Tyson style, because I grew up watching him. And when he used to throw the left hook from the peekaboo style, I mean, people always talk about his uppercut, but they kind of forget that he had a devastating left hook. I mean, just the way he used to jump rope so much, and that's kind of the secret of why he started losing, because he stopped jump roping, and his calves were so huge that he could put so much torque into that spin, that little, you know, twist of the foot, and just blow people away with that. So, yeah, it makes sense that he started off left-handed. Now, what do you know about the venue? Melrose here. Have you ever been there? Is this your first time there?
This will be my first time fighting on the Melrose venue. So I'm definitely excited about it.
Cool. And you know my buddy there, Michael Reyes. What's it like to work for him?
Mike is an awesome dude, man. He's a stand-up, solid guy. I first met Mike actually at my gym. He brought some guys down to spar with Demetrius Boo Boo Andre, and I happened to be in the gym that night, and that was the first time I met him. We didn't talk too much, but we ended up talking a little bit more the second time he came down, because I ended up sparring with one of his guys. I forget his name, but he's actually really good. I think he's a, I think he might be like 21 and like that. Really good Colombian kid. I believe I'm don't quote me on that. I think he's Colombian. I'm not 100% sure, but the kid was really good, and I sparred him. And after that, you know, Mike started talking, you know, with my trainer and seeing what was going on with who I was with promotion, and me and Mike started talking, and we just clicked. We took a liking to each other, and we just clicked, just automatically, and just don't gotta try. We just clicked, and you know, he tried to get me on his card back in October, but we had some issues because I was signed with another promotion company, CES.
Yeah,
and we was just waiting for my contract to be up with CES. So now my contract is up with CES, and now I'm dealing with Mike.
Awesome. Yeah, I went to Norwich with him, Norwich University up in Vermont, and I actually started the boxing club there. And he came to practice one day. I think one of his cousins was actually someone I went through the freshman year of the military school there with. So I think she ended up recommending he show up, and then he ended up becoming one of my coaches. He didn't actually do any boxing while he was at Norwich. I was telling your other buddy, our common friend, Matt Yanofsky there, that he did more street fighting in college, I think, up in the bars in Burlington. But yeah, I used to hear a lot about that. He had a buddy who was another friend of mine, big, heavy, fat guy, and for some reason they used to just go pick fights for fun and beat people up in the bar.
Oh, man.
So yeah, I ended up hearing about that, and then he ended up getting a scratched cornea, so he couldn't come to practice a few times. But I'm glad he got away from that and got into the legal side of fighting. He's a great guy. Very fast hands, too. I don't know if you ever seen him, you know, hit the mitts or, you know, mess around.
Unbelievably
fast.
I haven't, but I heard stories of Mike doing his thing in the ring.
Yeah, he was really good. I sparred him a couple times with the headgear and all that, but, you know, he was obviously a little bit lighter than me. I'm like 220 right now, but back then I was around 185, 195, and he was like buck 50. So I definitely didn't go full force with him. But yeah, he's always really slick, hard to hit, and definitely knew what he was doing. What's your ultimate goal with boxing? Where do you want to take it?
I want to go as far as I can. If I could get to a world title shot, that'd be awesome. Or any big title shot, IBF, IBO, or whatever. I just want to take it as far as I can, you know. And I just want to be able to show, you know, young black and young. White kids that, you know, no matter your background or where you're from or what you've been through, if you bite down and you put your dream and your passion in your forefront and you go for it, there's no limit to where you can go. You know, there shouldn't be any obstacle in the way with you chasing your passion and chasing your dream, no matter your age or No matter if you got a criminal background, you've been in trouble, or whatever, and it's never too late. It's never too late.
I mean, I got to tell my token story now from college boxing, because I did get to do the intercollegiate circuit for one semester down at Virginia Military Institute. We did an exchange program at Norwich, and they had a full team, and they took me on the first scrimmage after I had a little time off and was a little heavy. And I ended up going up against this kid from the Naval Academy at their gym. And it was the first time I ever quit in a fight. I couldn't even get through the second round. I just quit. So ended up, I start doing the boxing training. And we used to run 7 miles through the mountains there in West, or in regular Virginia, around Lexington. And we would actually do, like, right before the matches, we would do, like, a 5 a.m. run three times a week, just a couple miles there. But all that road work and the hard work, not only did I lose weight, but I got my stamina back up, and I ended up facing the very same kid at the regional tournament at our house, at our boxing gym.
Oh.
And I beat the brakes off him. I gave him a bloody nose and black eye, and he must have been shocked as hell. So I ended up going to nationals, and I came in third place in nationals, and I wasn't even upset about the third place because the guy who came in second fought on ESPN, and he faced this guy from Air Force Academy who had unbelievable reach. I don't even know how he made 185. But this guy got knocked out in the third round with like 10 seconds left or something on national TV. So, I mean, I probably would have got beat worse because he's the guy that beat me. But a very slick fighter. Wow. And his name happens to be Michael Jordan. So I can always, you know, name drop when I say who I boxed. But he wasn't a basketball player, of course. He's actually a big-time general now with the military. So he's what? Gone pretty far.
Oh, man.
But anyway, this is about you, so we'll stop telling stories about me. what would you say is the most important thing that you do to get ready for a fight?
Me, I focus on cardio is big. The last thing you want to do is lose a fight because you ran out of gas.
Exactly. I can attest to that.
So I focus. I make sure that I'm getting my road work. Jump roping, biking, you name it for cardio. I make sure I do this. I go to the gym in the morning. Right now I'm laid off, so I have the extra time to be able to do this. In the morning I go to the gym, I run 3 miles, 3-4 miles, whatever I get in 30 minutes, be 3.5-4 miles, sometimes in 30 minutes. Then from there, I go on the rower, I row for 10 minutes. Then I go on the elliptical for 10 minutes. I hit the bike for about 15 minutes, and then they have this other machine. It's just strictly for your arms. And I do that for 10 minutes. So I try to get at least 50 to 60 minutes of cardio.
Yeah.
Two to three times a week. If I don't get the full 50, 60 minutes, then I make sure I get my 30 that miles, or I'm jump roping for 30 minutes.
Right. Yeah, jump roping is so huge. I mean,
yeah, man.
It doesn't seem like that, some people, but it is.
I focus on because I started 8 months, so, and I started late, and then I had like six to seven years away from it. So technique, I've been focusing on a lot. I'm zoning in on that as well.
Cool. And what do you love most about the sport?
The action. You know, I love the action, the competition, you know, going in, the challenge of it. You know, you go in there, it's you versus him, and let the best man win.
Right.
You know, I think to me that's that challenge right there is. I look forward to that challenge, and if I don't get past that challenge, no hard feelings, but I'll be back.
All right. Now, is there anyone you want to thank or give a shout out to before we let you go?
Yeah, I would like to give a shout out to my sponsors, Fifth Ventures, Leander Garrett. He was one of the, my biggest sponsors for this upcoming fight. Also, he's from my city. Fog Auto Sales in Taunton, Massachusetts as well. I want to thank Timothy Fogg for being a sponsor for this fight. F&M Entertainment, they deal with music, and I went to high school with this kid who started pretty much he produces records and stuff like that. His name is Rick. We went to Brockton High School. We played basketball on a freshman team my freshman year. I want to thank him for being a sponsor for this fight. I also want to thank the Soft King, Nando, for being a sponsor for this fight. He was another major sponsor, and he's hooking me up with some real dope Marcus Bates. And I also want to thank Bromwell Fitness Training Center, Doug Bromwell, and I also want to thank Eileen Wardell from the Yoga Heart-Centered Yoga from the Bromwell Fitness Training Center.
Awesome. And how do people find you online?
You can find me on Facebook, Marcus Bates, MARQUSBATES. You can also find me on Instagram, same thing, Marcus Bates, MARQUSBATES.
It's basically only one letter short of the name the rules are named after, right? The Marcus of Queensbury. That must be fate, right?
It must be, huh?
Well, I wish I could see you in action Saturday, but I'm not going to be there for this one. I hope you come up to New Hampshire at some point. That's where I'm based. And I'm going to try to get to some more events.
Yeah,
I definitely got to hook up with Mike at some point.
Supposed to be fighting again March 19th at Melrose Memorial Hall again. And hopefully to New Hampshire. I fought in New Hampshire last April.
Mm-hmm.
Against Brian De Bartolomeo.
Yep.
For New Hampshire State welterweight title. I beat him. I knocked him out in the sixth round.
There you go. So you got a title to defend. you got to make New Hampshire proud from Taunton.
Yeah.
Well, that just goes to show you. I mean, we need more boxing up here, because if a Massachusetts guy is winning the New Hampshire state title, we get problems. I guess I got to start coaching again.
I know, right?
Anyway, it's great talking to you.
Get back to it.
Yeah, I got it.
Great talk. Talking to you, Rich, man. Thank you. And again, our apologies for missing the 2:00 appointment.
No worries. No big deal. You got better things to do, getting ready for a fight, so I understand. But anyway, we'll keep in touch. I'll send you the interview when it's up, and we're actually going to be putting it in two places. We'll have it on Spreaker at the end of our regular broadcast of our Just Combat Sports show, and then we're going to separate it into just the regular interview on Blog Talk Radio. So we'll make you famous.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for reaching out, Rich.
You're welcome. Have a good one. I'd say good luck, but I don't think you need it.
Have a good one.